I'm Monica Schmelter. I'm glad that you could join us for Bridges today. Today, we are going to open up God's Word, and we're going to be studying from the book of John and the 14th chapter. And as I was studying and just to prepare for today, I was just really struck by how many times Jesus used this particular phrase. And normally, when a person uses a particular word a lot or a phrase, it's because it's meaningful to them or it has some significance. In this particular phrase that Jesus used is, "If you really love me." And it was used several times in John chapter 14. And I'm going to start reading there in verse 1 from the New Living Translation. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be where I am, and you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And so truth number one for today is there is more than enough room. I want you to think about this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples, where he says, there's more than enough room in my Father's house, and that he's going to come and get us when everything is ready. There is more than enough room for all of us. The thing that we have to understand about Jesus and about the heart of God is that everyone is invited. Everyone is welcome. All the division over the years, including in the days that the disciples were walking with Jesus, the arguments, the division about who can get into heaven and who can't get in, and how this group is unqualified, and this person, based on their gender or based on this or this particular verse, there's been all of this discussion, heated discussion over the years. There are certain denominations that think that they'll be the only ones in heaven, and that, you know, if you don't get baptized this way or if this doesn't happen that way. Argument after argument, so much division. Even amongst the disciples, two of them had their mom ask Jesus, "Well, can you grant for us to sit on the right or the left?" In other words, all these arguments about who's getting in and who's getting the most. And Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid, you all. There's more than enough room for everybody." So let that soak in for just a moment. And I know that some of you are thinking, "Yeah, but everybody's not going to go to heaven." Okay, I know that the Word of God says that, but it also says that it's God's will that none would perish. The heart of God, the will of God, is that all of us could go be with him. And yet, he respects our own free will choice. Everyone's invited. Everyone's welcome. We get to say yes, or we get to say no. And no decision is no. So I completely, of course, the Bible is the truth. It's the absolute truth. God says that in order to go to heaven, we must believe on the one whom he sent. That's Jesus Christ. That without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We all know Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus. So Jesus is the way. And as Jesus comforts, as he talks to his disciples, he's like, "Hey, guys, don't let your hearts be troubled. There is more than enough room." You think about it. I think that they say that John 3:16 is like the most famous or the most popular of all the scriptures. And that verse talks about how God so loved the world that whoever would believe in Jesus would not perish, but would through Jesus have eternal life. So the notes from today and that particular verse will all be up on the website in the online extras. It's monicaschmelter.com. And my heart in having the online extras put together is so that not only could you watch, not only could you hear the teaching, but that you could have the notes and study. The Bible is clear that we are to present ourselves as a workman approved, someone that studied, and that we don't need to be ashamed that we put the Word of God last in our lives. And we look at this John 14 and these words of Jesus, if you really love me. You look at this John 14, 6, where he makes it abundantly clear that Jesus is the way. And without Jesus, we are not going to get to heaven. So Jesus is the way to the Father. And then if you skip down with me, please, to verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work that you have seen me do. So you all, not just to call out Philip, but just think about this conversation and think about sometimes how our prayer time is and when we read the Bible and the things that we say. Jesus is saying, there's more than enough room in my Father's house. He says, I'm the way to get to the Father. And Philip pops up with, well, show us the Father. then we'll be satisfied. And I think about how many times that in places of doubt in my life, or in heartbreak in my life, or in a trial that seemingly has no end. And I'll think, well, God, you know, if you'd just show me this, or if you just show me that, I'll be satisfied. You all, we all know that that's not true. After we get that one thing, there's one more thing. And Jesus says to Philip, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? Just believe that. He's saying, just believe. And if not, then believe on the work that you've seen me do. And you think about up to this time, Philip, right? They have seen Jesus open blind eyes. They've seen him heal lepers. They've seen him raise the dead. They've seen him give hearing to those that are deaf. They've seen thousands be fed with just a few loaves and fishes. They've gotten the tax money that they needed from a fish's mouth. And we think, well, how could you not believe? And then I think to myself, how could I not believe? How could I have moments of doubt when I have the whole Bible, the whole absolute truth of God, which the disciples didn't have all that. Remember, what they were seeing and what they were experiencing was new. They had never seen a leader like Jesus, and they followed him. When he called, they followed him, so they had some faith. But they, like us, we are all like that man that's talked about in the book of Luke. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. And in this conversation that Jesus has, he talks to them about how there's more than enough room. And he keeps saying to them, believe that I'm in the Father. Believe that the Father's in me. At least believe in the work that you've seen me do. And I think that voice still says to us today, believe in the work that we've seen him do in our life. Believe in the work that we've seen outlined in the Bible, the miracles, the verse that talks about his word is confirmed with signs and wonders. Here we've got Jesus with these disciples, Jesus knowing that his time is at hand. Jesus saying, you know, if you really love me. And Thomas saying, oh no, Jesus, you know, we don't know where you're going. Tell us where you're going. And Philip saying to him, you know, well, just show us the Father, then we'll be satisfied. You all, you know, it's like when we're in meetings, maybe at work, at school, at church, and, you know, someone is speaking and they're presenting and they're being clear, right? There's always one in the crowd to be like, oh no, I have no idea what you're talking about. We never went over that before. There's always one who said, well, no, I didn't get that email. I didn't know that. And you're like, you replied to the thread on that email. I think you did know that. But here it's happening for these disciples. Thomas saying, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know the way. Philip saying, show us one more thing. And just a little bit later in John chapter 14, Judas, not Iscariot, but Judas will have just another question. And so Jesus, in these final days, in these final moments, he's still investing in the disciples. He's still making the mission clear. And they've got their questions and they're answering. And, you know, sometimes I think if I look at my own life, I can see that maybe I am so consumed with a trial or a question that I have that I'm saying, Jesus, just show me that one more thing. Do this one more thing. And maybe it's that for him, he's wanting to get me in my life to turn to maybe something else, maybe a person that I need to forgive. And yet I'm so focused on this that I can't get over there to who I need to forgive, or resentment or anger that I'm holding in my heart. And what we need to do, all of us, is to open our hearts to God and let him put his finger on the areas that really need attention, that really need him to do something about. Sometimes we're so busy telling God about how we've been wronged or how much we need to understand this or this situation and what needs to happen, that we can really skip over what he's saying to us in that moment. I want you to skip with me, if you would, in scripture down to verse 15. And we're going to pick up again where Jesus repeats this phrase. He says here, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Jesus says in verse 18, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Think about those words. Truth number two for today. If we love him, we obey his word. So many times we will look at, but I do love him. I do love Jesus. I am thankful for all of the things that he's done in my life. And yet we can skip over this principle, this of the utmost importance phrase that he used. If you really love me, obey my commandments. There's nothing. He never wastes anything, not a phrase, not a word. So there has to be a reason that he continues to say this. And you think about it as people, we have that tendency to want to make God in our image and to turn that around and say, but God, if you really loved me, you would let me, whatever that is, get this job, or you would let me get married, or you would let me get pregnant, or you would let me move or buy a house, all the things. And there is nothing wrong with anything that I just named. It's just that sometimes we want those things more than we want to obey his commandments. We can look right over the verse that says, how can you love God and hate your brother? Because you see your brother and you can't see God. And yet we meet, and I've been that Christian believer who has held aught against my brother or sister, but said that I loved God, and they have to get untangled in all of that mess. We've all been there if we're honest. And he keeps putting his finger on that in this chapter. Look, if you really love me, it's not about the songs that you sing, the money that you give, the sacrifices that you make. Those are good. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. 1 John 5:3, and I'll put that verse up in the online extras. You can go to monicaschmelter.com where you can watch this teaching again, and you can also get all of the notes from today. One of the things that we're doing with Bridges now is really digging into the Word of God verse by verse. And my heart is to show you how the Bible from Genesis to Revelation echoes each other. 66 books in the Bible written by more than 40 different people, and yet how each book echoes another book, how verses point back to each other. It's just more proof that God is exactly who he says he is, and that just as the book of Genesis starts out, in the beginning, God. And when we understand that the way that we show our love for him is to obey his commandments, it helps us to get compromise out of our lives. It helps us to get our priorities straight. He says, if you really love me. You think about, sometimes we will spend a lot of time, at least I have, in trying to get God to agree with whatever I'm doing or whatever I'm thinking, and to work that situation out the way that I think would bring him the most glory. And Jesus and his disciples, what they're thinking is however they were imagining this to work out. And one of the things that the disciples were still thinking at this time was that Jesus was going to set up his kingdom here on earth, like right then at that time. And Jesus was working to get them to see, no, that was not the plan. He was going to go away and return to the Father. And he was sending his Holy Spirit as our advocate, as our comforter, who would teach us, who would lead us into all truth. And some of the disciples were just stuck on, no, you need to reveal yourself right now to the whole world and let everybody know that we're right for believing in you. And Jesus is saying, you know, if you really love me, if you really love me. And we have ideas, you know, people are like, well, you know, Jesus, if you really love me, this is how marriage with children should look. Well, Jesus, if you really love me, this is how the life of an empty nester should look. Or Jesus, if you really love me, you'd let me do thus and such. You all, he loved us first. We love him because he loved us first. And he says, if you really love me, obey my commandments. And one of those commandments is that we love our brother as ourself. It goes on, if you'll pick up with me in verse 22 here in John 14, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with the same name. Think about how hard that would be to have the same name as Judas. Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not the world at large? You all, Judas is thinking, Jesus, we gave up a lot to follow you, and we want you to tell everybody right now in this moment that we're right. And Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. Now skip with me now to verse 27, where Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. Truth number three, we have peace of mind and heart. So you think about how Jesus starts this conversation. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. In my Father's house, there's more than enough room for everybody. And as he concludes this conversation, he says to them, I am leaving you with a gift of peace and a peace of mind and heart. You all, that's a gift that this world does not have. World has no access to it. Even as believers in Christ, we can grapple with not having peace of mind and heart because we have attached ourselves to results, to outcomes, to people, to places, to things that are not in God's will for us or not in God's timing in that time. And what Jesus says is, you know, get yourself out of all of that. Untangle yourself from all of that and understand that if you love me, you obey me. Those that don't obey me don't really love me. Jesus connects the dots. He says himself, I will do whatever the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love my Father. And you all, if we can just understand that the measure of our love for Christ is, again, not necessarily the songs that we sing or the kind of music that we listen to. It's not necessarily in how many church meetings or revivals or this, that, or how much volunteer work that we do. Those things are all good. But the measure of our love for him is our willingness to do what he asks us to do, to obey, especially because you all, you know that some of the things that he asks us to do, they're not easy in our human nature. It takes following after the Spirit of God, because when we follow the Spirit of God, then we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus knows that his ascension to the Father is necessary. He also knows that this is going to be hard for his disciples. And these are the men that he has entrusted the gospel to, that when he ascends to the Father, this is going to be the group of people that are going to help disseminate or spread his word. So again, he's investing in them and he's letting them know, you don't get to redefine who I am or decide what you can do or what you can't do. He's saying, if you love me, obey my commands. He's preparing them so that they can be the leaders and the teachers and the people that spread the gospel to the next group of people. He knows that he's got to go back to the Father, and he knows that that is going to shake the disciples. Just look at the disciples' reaction to just these few verses that we've read. We've got one who said, no, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way? We've got Philip who says, well, you know, could you show us one more thing? I mean, if you show us one more thing, we will be satisfied. And I don't know about you, but I can see myself in that comment. How many times have I said, God, show me one more thing, when clearly he's given me his word. He's given you his word. He's given us all so much. You've got Judas, and again, not Judas Iscariot, Judas who says, okay, but why are you just revealing yourself to us? Like, we want you to tell everybody. I mean, because we've given up a lot for you here. And how many times in our lives do we say, you know, Jesus, I've given up a lot for you. I mean, I quit that job for you. I got out of that toxic relationship. I no longer live with so-and-so anymore because this is what your word says. We really look at it like we've done a lot for him. And it's not even a game of comparison. That's not even it. But you all, none of us have sacrificed anywhere close to what Jesus has sacrificed for us. He spilled his blood. He gave his life. We love him because he loved us first. These sacrifices that we think we make, and that because we made them, we deserve this, that, or the other thing. He wants us to live in agreement or live in obedience to his word. And our love for him is exemplified. It's demonstrated by our obedience. I remember talking to a woman who she was new in serving Christ and excited, and she wanted her boyfriend to serve the Lord. And that's noble. You know, Jesus wants that too. But she's living with the guy. And rather than being willing to give up living with him, she's trying to figure out how to get him to go to church. And she asked me, she's like, could you recommend any book, like a devotional book that, like, for couples living together? It's like, I don't know that there's a book like that. And if there is a book like that, it would be a non-biblical book because that's not biblical. So you don't break the word of God in order to get someone to come to faith in Christ. Though I understand what she was saying, she wanted both. She wanted to live with the boyfriend and to serve God. And when Jesus says, well, you can't serve God and mammon, it wasn't just about serving God and money. It's like, we can't be divided in our hearts. We have to be wholehearted. And this entire conversation was Jesus saying to them, if you really love me, obey my word. And that same phrase, those same scriptures apply to us today. We can get so sidetracked. We can get off course. We can start thinking, well, you know, I go to church a lot and I serve in leadership and, you know, I do all of these things. So, yep, I love him. I'm good. And yet he still says to us today, if you really love me, you will obey my word. And so today's truth that will see us through the good times and the less than good times in our life is, if we really love Christ, we obey his word. We will have the notes from today and all of that at monicaschmelter.com and the online extras. We're out of time, so I say goodbye and God bless you.
What do you do when your world is falling apart? How do you march when it would be easier to stay where you are and die? Join me every week on the March or Die podcast, and we'll discuss that and so much more.